Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a sign of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world.
Devin, what guy on this team would you least like to date your sister?
What the hell? Diggs.
What guy on this team would you least like to date your sister?
Oh, Stephon Diggs.
What guy on this team would you least like to date your sister?
Least like to date my sister, Diggs. 100%.
What guy on this team would you least like to date your sister? And I might add, you're starting to be the runaway favorite for this.
Would nobody want me to date this? I'm a great guy. I'm actually a great guy.
There's actually seems to be a few guys that don't think that.
Feel differently about me?
Yeah.
They just don't know me well enough. That's what it is. Step. All right, who don't I want to date my sister? Weatherly.
Why Weatherly?
Because he's ugly. I knew that was coming. That was the problem.
That's Stephon Diggs. Back when he was a youngster with the Minnesota Vikings. One of those things that the social team asks, some guy to ask questions. The last guy before you heard Diggs was Adam Thielen. The one who's like, definitely Diggs. Don't want him to date your sister. But maybe you just want him to catch touchdown passes, and he'll try to do that here for the Texans going forward. So Stephon Diggs is a Texan for at least a year. We'll see what it means going forward now that that contract has been ripped up. I like it for the Texans. You take a shot, and if he isn't the guy you want him to be, he doesn't fit the culture, cool. He doesn't have to be here beyond the year, but you expect a happy guy. You gave him more money up front, and then you also gave him the opportunity to reach free agency, and maybe he decides this is the best place for him, particularly if you win big, because that's what he wants to do. So that'll play out, but the Texans certainly making moves to strengthen their chances of potentially being a Super Bowl contender. Let's talk to L. Gilbert, which I imagine is a way to differentiate himself from the GOAT that is Gilbert. What's up, L. Gilbert?
Hello?
Okay. Is it Gilbert on a mobile or a different Gilbert, period?
Lance, are you there?
Lance isn't here. Lance, his work ends, at least on this show, at 10. On the
Lance,
station at
did you
10.
Get my Colleen, or did you get my photo?
Colleen Wolf is dealing with other things, like Woody Johnson yelling at her. I don't know when you're going to get your photo, L. Gilbert.
Oh?
Gilbert. Can you hear me, Gilbert?
Is it L?
This is Dell. You don't really like to talk to me very much. Do you have anything you want to say?
Yeah, I had a question for you, Dell. If you had a sister, who would you not let date on you in the station? I vote Paul Gallant not to date my sister.
Why Paul Gallant? I can guess.
Because he's the zestiest.
I know.
Bye.
Thanks, L. Gilbert. He's the zestiest. And you want your sister to find real love, so you don't want Paul to date her? I haven't considered that. Who wouldn't I want my sister to date? Well, we throw out the married guys because that'd be bad. Who are the? There are not a lot of single dudes here. I mean, I'm in the middle as far as age. There are multiple guys who are older than me, and the producers generally are younger than me. Sean is younger than me. Brian's not. Well, I don't know how old Brian is.
He's older than you.
He is, and then I'm the other producer. So I mean, maybe Sean is the only. Maybe Joe. I think Joe and Paul are in my age range too. Joe's married. So it's either you.
It's me, Paul, and you, I think, right?
And I'm definitely not dating my sister. So so this makes it easy. I can always say, hey, it was one or the other.
Flip a coin.
I wouldn't want a Northeastern sports fan dating my sister.
So specifically a Celtics and Patriots.
Yeah, that's rough. I couldn't have it. it's you. Sean dates this my sister. Paul, I can't have it. Can't have you in the family. Got to hear about Tommy. I don't want to listen to that. So no. So no to Paul. Yes, Sean's very. In fact, that's very easy when it's only the two of you.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't even consider that. Yeah, half or not half. 90% of the station. Sorry.
Married guys.
Off the board.
Yeah. Thankfully, made my choice easier, so I didn't have to go on insulting people about why they can't take my sister.
Yeah, that's the thing. They all are also no.
Yeah, if they were single, I mean, still no. But
single Granado, no.
no. He already has implied that you never know if he could be my dad because you don't know where your mom was at a certain point. I was like, what? Yes, I do. He's like, no, you don't. You weren't alive. So definitely not him. Lance wants to hide in his room and eat ramen on his bed on a towel. So no, it'd be a terrible experience. I don't know much about Jeremy. He seems like a perfectly nice person. Joel's a little aggressive. I don't want him to be my stepdad or the dad who stepped up. I don't want either one of those scenarios. Now I'm just talking about my mom now. But. I wouldn't want to be a brother-in-law just because you can't even look at him a certain way without him thinking I'm looking at him the wrong way. So now I am getting into insulting people, which is what I didn't want to do. Nah, everyone's fine. Everyone's great. But Sean's at the top of the list, mostly because he fits the profile of not being attached. Thanks for the question, L. Gilbert. Appreciate it. We can move on. And, you know, we're gonna have a baseball legend pitching on the station, Sean. Justin Verlander will pitch for the Space Cowboys on Sunday. You can hear that game here.
A future Hall of Famer will be on ESPN 92.5.
Yes, 92.5. Let's be clear. You can hear it on 92.5. We have Space Cowboy games there, and Justin Verlander will pitch for the Space Cowboys on Sunday, which is great because it means we're one step closer to having Verlander back in the rotation on the big league level. And he won't be available for the Rangers series, but that's cool. That's fine. Knowing he's making progress and no setbacks as he tries to make his return. Really, really good news for the Astros. Although the pitching has been great, at least the starting pitching, which then brings the question, obviously, who do we send down? So it'll be either France and Ronel Blanco, and really it's going to be Blanco. That's just how baseball works. France was a multi-game starter, pitched well last year throughout. Blanco has he has a no-hitter, but he's only pitching in the rotation partly because Urquidy and Verlander out. You might be able to say the same thing for France if you thought that Urquidy was a definite for the rotation. So what it means is the Astros will get deeper as far as their starting pitching. As I said, that's been great. But it also is after a really great week for Blanco, he'll get another start, certainly. Thanks for your service. Bye.
Wow. Thanks for the memories. See you later.
Winning the first game for Espada, for the first game of the season.
Throwing a no-hitter.
We appreciate you, but you're going to have to go. They're not going to sit down France. They're not going to take France out of the rotation.
It's tough because they're all the starters. Maybe one of them goes to the bullpen.
I think so.
Or a six-man rotation at least early on, yeah. As Verlander is still.
Although we know Verlander wants to pitch,
yeah,
on his routine. So we'll see if they do that, and it'll all depend on the off days and how that's set up. But it's gotta be the seniority thing and a guy who's done it before. You would imagine Blanco's going to, after maybe this turn in the rotation, go to the bullpen. I don't think he'll be sent down, but he'll just go to the bullpen, and it's not like the bullpen doesn't need it.
Yeah. But who do you send down from the bullpen, Del?
There's so many options, Sean.
It's like the opposite of dating your sister.
Yeah.
There's so many options.
There's so many options. You, or you. Hey, we'll flip a coin. We'll be coin boys when it comes to this. It doesn't matter. Just get out of here.
You see Joe Espada cutting straws.
You guys are so terrible. I don't even care. It'll be a game of chance. We'll see. Longest straw out of here. Yeah, so that's the unfortunate thing, that if you want to call the human cost of it all. Blanco, who's been great, has had a great last month or so with the Astros. He will likely lose his spot in the rotation, but stay up. And one of those other guys who we don't really want to see anymore takes a back seat. I guess the question will be, do they believe Blanco can come out of the bullpen? If he can, great. If he can't, a little rough. It's all apparently today is all about revealing things we already know. DeSean Jackson told us that one of the reasons Stephon Diggs wanted out was because they can't beat the Bills, and Kay Adams felt like that's breaking news. No, everyone knows they can't beat the Bills. Eric Armstead revealed something as well. We'll get to it on the other side, and I say revealed, and I put it in quotes because we knew this was happening as it was happening, but he confirms it. Eric Armstead, the new Jacksonville Jaguar, former San Francisco 49er, revealed something about early in this offseason that we kind of already knew. But he certainly is there to confirm it, so we'll talk about that when we come back.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really. Okay.
That's Michael Carroll. He should be here with us in the next segment. As I said before, as a Rocket season kind of wrapped up as far as any real importance to it last night, maybe you want something else to watch this weekend than them playing the Miami Heat, who are coming off a back-to-back themselves, so, and they're still fighting for play-in positioning, so you're probably going to get a pretty good ball game as long as the Rockets haven't, you know, given up on the year and they still want to compete. That should be a good ball game tonight. But maybe you don't want to watch that, so Michael Carroll will come in and hopefully give you options and something you can turn your attention to. I mentioned Eric Armstead before we went to break. Eric Armstead is a new defensive lineman for the Jags, formerly of the 49ers. He was on a podcast, because aren't we all on podcasts at some point? He was on the Third and Long podcast, and he told the world something we already knew, that the Texans were involved in trying to trade for him. He said, the Texans tried to trade for me, didn't even want me to become a free agent. I thought I was going there. Trade fell through. Boom. I end up hitting free agency. And you know why the Texans didn't want him to hit free agency? Because of how much he cost. He went to the Jags in a deal that I don't think anyone here, after seeing it, was okay with paying the 30-year-old guy who spends a lot of time inactive. It's a big deal for the Jags, and I get why they're doing it. Their team in a bit of flux. Doug Peterson, you make the playoffs, but then you have a disappointing year where you lose the final game of the year. So you're going to try to do things to build some momentum and take a shot, because it can get ugly real quick. And this is probably Doug Peterson's last shot at being a head coach. So I get trying to make a move for Armstead, and Trim Baalke is part of that too. He's a guy who not a lot of people are thrilled with. So you got to pay guys, and some people would think they're overpaying. Now, some of it is funny money. $28 million of it is guaranteed, but 3 years, $43.5 million for Armstead. When those numbers came out, a lot of Texans fans were like, "Whoa, choking! Whoa, we're good. We'll try to go sign someone else." But you'll have to try to block him, and hopefully, the interior of the Texans' offensive line stays healthy. So Armstead told us what we knew, that in the midst of early free agency, the Texans were in on him. They just couldn't get it done. That trade fell apart, and now they have to deal with him as long as he's on the field, which is always in question. I mentioned the Rockets and their season kind of petering out as far as importance. A guy some people thought could come back if the games mattered was Alperen Şengün. Ime Udoka gave an update on Şengün earlier, not today, but earlier before yesterday's game. And it seems like those hopes were probably a little far-fetched. Here's Ime Udoka on Şengün.
Not much. I mean, the biggest thing was getting swelling out, and he still has some in there. So he's doing light mobility work just to kind of keep the ankle joint loose and get the swelling out. That's the main thing before you even think about doing anything on the court. And so not much. It's not like Cam, where we knew he was coming back sooner. It's more so just getting rehab and treatment and seeing how he reacts to that. And if it's, you know, expedited due to that, then maybe he gets on the court, but nothing we've discussed yet.
So if that feels like his return was very unlikely, the swelling's still there. And considering the diagnosis, at least what we heard from Ime Udoka initially, the third degree sprain, and I've harped on it before, that diagnosis says ligament damage. Udoka, during that initial press availability talking about Şengün, said there wasn't any ligament damage, so those things don't line up. But swelling hasn't gone down yet. The Şengün thing felt far-fetched when people were bringing it up, and it appears it certainly was. So Şengün, unlikely we'll see him the rest of the way, and that's probably a good decision considering the lack of importance these last couple games will have. Now, because of Şengün's absence and the Rockets taking off, the questions began about who's more important. Can they play together, Green and Şengün? And if you got to pay someone, who would you pay? And then I looked up the numbers for a max deal for the two, and they're astronomical. Now the cap goes up, so it certainly isn't. It's kind of relative to what previous rookie max extensions were, because the cap was always moving up generally. But we're talking about an annual average salary of 52 for Green and 45 for Şengün, because that's based on draft status, and Green's already making more despite them being in the same draft class. So his average would be more than Şengün. And everyone that I mentioned this who balked at the idea of paying either one of them that, particularly Green. The thought of paying Jalen Green an average annual salary of $52 million a year, people were choking on that number. And I don't think they get the max. You can retain those guys without paying them the max, but they may certainly want it, and then it becomes a negotiation. And maybe we're playing a game of chicken. Hey, go to restricted free agency and see what you can get, and then we'll match it anyway. So sometimes you want to avoid that because it upsets the player. But if the Rockets are anything, the Rockets' complete organization is anything like Ime Udoka, calling his team soft, maybe they don't care about upsetting players so much. So we'll see how that plays out. But the discussion kind of drifted towards this, and I want to ask Sean about it. And anyone else has thoughts on it, they can chime in, 713-780-3776. If we're looking to trade for a star, because that is something out there too, as phase three of the Rockets involves maybe trading some young pieces for a legitimate star, the one guy who seems clearly available, despite Cleveland's objections to the idea, is Donovan Mitchell. He's a guy who the buzz suggests won't be in Cleveland, didn't want to be there to begin with, but when the Jazz traded him, he accepted it, but it ain't working out for him. They're in year two of that. They were a good team last year, flamed out against the Knicks. The recent run of play for them suggests that could happen again, no matter who the matchup is. They just don't fit well. The Mobley, Garland, Allen, Donovan Mitchell thing doesn't feel like it's sustainable. So I asked this question before, and I ask it to you, Sean, and anyone else. If the Cavs become a team that goes, you know what, we got to get something for him. We can't let him play out the last year and then watch him walk away, which seems like smart business. If they say, hey, we got to make the salaries work, so we'll take on Dylan Brooks. We want Jalen Green. And we want, let's say, for their trouble, they want 3 first-round picks. Because they think Dylan Brooks is a depressed asset. Maybe not a depressed asset. It's actually not a positive asset. So we want picks to make up for taking him on to make this deal work. Are you doing that? 3 first-rounders plus Jalen Green, and then you the Dylan Brooks salary.
No, because... Is Donovan Mitchell a guy that's going to take you over the top?
He's never done it before. That is something that kind of gets looked past, that he had good teams in Utah.
Yeah.
And then the blame fell on Rudy Gobert because sometimes he got played off the court. But it's not like Donovan Mitchell wasn't out there being a bad defender too. Now, yeah, he had some great moments in the playoffs, but the Utah teams generally weren't expected to win those series. So I get
why weren't they expected to win this series?
Because maybe he wasn't good enough.
Maybe at the end of the day, a lot of the NBA playoffs is who has the best player. Best player versus best player.
It's true.
And in a lot of those series, the Utah Jazz did not have the best player because their best player was either Donovan Mitchell or Rudy Gobert, depending on, you know, how you want to look at it.
Yeah, they had some other issues. They had some poor wing defenders that kind of exposed Rudy Gobert, because if at all times you're getting blown by and he has to try to protect the rim and challenge you, then there's going to be either his guy's going to be open or it compromises the defense. We know point of attack defense is very important. So, yes. So, you're banking on the potential of Jalen Green and mostly not having to give up three first-round picks to make the deal happen. But what about this? So, you're not trading for Donovan Mitchell.
No. But I just don't think he's good enough.
Good enough. Yeah. So, would you rather pay – let's say you don't have to pay Jalen Green $50-plus million. Somehow becomes reasonable, because we know NBA players are generally reasonable about their money. Are you giving him $40-plus million over 5 years? If that's what's going
to
keep him here,
that's the either or.
Yes,
I have to sign him to the extension before next year.
Or you can think of another star who wants out, and we can have that conversation. But right now,
it's tough to, you know, project that. Like, Donovan Mitchell is the most
obvious one.
Most obvious, most available.
And he's 27. He's not an older player. You'll still have him in his prime. So I feel like that's the level and the age range the Rockets would be looking at. I don't think they want to bring on a 31-year-old star to combine with Shingun and the rest of the younger players.
That would be more like the Paul George.
Yeah, and he's even older than that. So, yeah.
I guess if it's an either or, yeah, I would rather just pay Jalen give Jalen the contract.
But at that price point, you're not talking about the max, the $50-plus million dollar max. Okay, I get it. I kind of agree with you. I don't think Donovan Mitchell's putting this team over the top. Oh, look, Donovan Mitchell and Fred VanVleet, two small guards. We'll see how that works out.
Yeah, if only we haven't seen that not work before, except for
Portland
and
Cleveland.
Last year's Cleveland Cavaliers with Donovan Mitchell
and
on
Darius
them.
Garland.
And this year's Cleveland Cavaliers with Donovan Mitchell on them.
He is the name right now, but as you said, it's hard to project, and there may be others that become a factor in this thing as the Rockets potentially try to upgrade their roster more quickly than we thought. But right now, it is Jalen Green and Alperen Şengün, and the question is, can they play together on a level that makes the Rockets real contenders? And if they do become real contenders, then it becomes a decision about money. And you hope, if I'm a Rockets fan, I'm saying, can we get past this offseason before we make real decisions about them? Because we don't have to pay them now. It just makes it easier to deal with players when they get their money on schedule.
Yeah, you don't have to pay them now. You also don't have to trade them now.
These don't have to happen this offseason.
You don't have to decide. Nope, doesn't work based off of 15 good Jalen Green games.
Yeah,
like you don't actually need to make that decision.
I would say, why are we rushing to make either decision? And I know the clock picks up and the rumors start, but write them out. They're restricted free agents. Don't go anywhere unless you want them to.
Yeah, unless there's a situation where, like, and I don't think this is likely at all, but just, like, this guy, like if a Devin Booker was available.
If he wanted out, yeah.
Then you have the conversation. If it's a Giannis becomes available, then these guys that we don't think are going to be available.
If Doc Rivers breaks him in Milwaukee and he goes, I need out.
Giannis looks around and is like, F this. I wouldn't make the, you know, break this up decision just to break this up. It would have to be for a clear improvement for a, you know, top 10, top 15 type guy.
And I agree with you that Donovan Mitchell doesn't fit the profile of a guy I'm rushing to go grab. I'm there with you on that. Michael Carroll, someone I would love to have in. We'll see. He's always busy, but Michael Carroll is here possibly to give us updates on what you should and maybe shouldn't watch going forward. He is one of the hosts of Comicast. Comicast has a new time. At a minimum, I'll tell you about that. That has moved. If you like that show, it's generally a Sunday morning show. It has changed, I believe, Friday night. So we'll talk about that going forward. But Michael Carroll of Comicast coming up next here on the show. But first, I want to talk about my bookie. if you believe the Rockets don't care about tonight's game and you think the Heat are going to run them off the floor, go to my bookie for that. If you got some thoughts on the Final Four, the women's Final Four, that's happening tonight, Caitlin Clark versus Paige Bueckers. Or maybe you think South Carolina is on their way to an undefeated season and a national title. You think they're blowing out NC State. MyBookie is a place for that, too. Just go to MyBookie.ag. And the promo code is BET975. You know what it is. They have experts. They'll give you the up-to-date odds and predictions. And they also have the online casino. So if you're not big into sports betting or you've had some bad luck and you think you're better at poker or blackjack, MyBookie has that for you as well. The MyBookie.ag website is great on your phone, so you can be mobile. You can bet anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. So you don't have to be stationary if you're out and about. I know it's Friday, but if you want to put a bet in on MyBookie, they have the website and the phone capabilities for it as well. So MyBookie provides you the best opportunities to place money on games or play those online games with the in-person live dealer. You'll be able to maybe not talk to somebody, but deal with someone. And, you know, it's always great to have that personal touch. And MyBookie provides that for you. Just use BET975. That's the promo code. And if you put in $200, you can get $300 ready to play instantly, courtesy of MyBookie. And the best part about MyBookie, you can bet on anything, anytime, from anywhere. Just use that promo code to secure your welcome bonus today. Only with MyBookie.
And action!
It's Friday, and so you're probably wondering, what am I going to watch this weekend? Besides all the sports, of course. If you're not sure if you should go to the theater or stay home and binge something, we got you covered on the Del Olalea Show. Time to talk about what you should be watching this weekend with Del Olalea, Sean Mapes, and some guy named Michael Carroll.
And that guy is here with us, Michael Carroll. Welcome.
Might help if I turn my mic on.
That generally does help.
That does
the process
help,
yeah. Of broadcasting.
I didn't know you were a diva and were waiting
who are
for
you,
me to...
Granato, who can't turn on his own mic?
I expect my mic to be turned on.
Going forward, Sean. Now
going
you know.
Forward.
Now you know.
Write that down.
How else would he remember that, except for writing it down? So Michael Carroll joins us, and as you heard through the intro, he'll give you things to watch if maybe you're burnt out. Maybe you've been watching sports all week long, and you've suffered some disappointments, whether it be the Astros, the Rockets, and you want something else to watch to get you through the weekend. And maybe it might be a movie or a TV show. We never know. That's why Michael Carroll's in. So, you know, Godzilla and Kong is out. What's it called? New Empire? What's the name of it again?
Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire.
The New Empire.
Yes.
You've got Monkey Man out.
Yes.
From Dev Patel.
Mm-hmm.
It's the spring and maybe the summer of primates doing things they don't normally do. There's also another movie I saw coming out that's weirder than this involving monkeys. Not that type of weird, everyone. It's actually something that's going to be in regular theaters, and I saw. We've had enough monkey talk. Because we also have the next Planet of the Apes monkey movie.
We have Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes movie. That movie coming out May 10th is the one you're referencing. It's not monkeys necessarily, but it's Sasquatch Sunset. Have you seen that trailer?
That's what I'm talking about, because
yes.
I just consider Sasquatch somewhat of a monkey, I guess.
Yes,
yes Sasquatch. I looked at that. I was like, what is this?
It's the weirdest
Sasquatch Sunset
trailer I have ever seen.
It is about a family of Sasquatches?
It is literally about a family of Sasquatches. And that's it. Like, it's not, like, I don't think there's any dialogue in the movie. Like, they just...
Well, because the Sasquatches are talking. We're at a different level. Yeah. I'm looking. Sasquatch Sunset's coming out, and I'm looking at it, and who are playing these Sasquatches?
Jesse Eisenberg.
He's playing a Sasquatch. And Elvis's daughter, Riley Keough. Isn't that Elvis's daughter?
I think so.
Riley Keough.
And then, Nathan Zellner.
Yeah,
and
a couple other people as well. Yeah. But yeah, so Sasquatch Sunset. I'm not sure if we're recommending that particular movie yet.
Just watch the trailer.
Yeah, just watch it. We're recommending the trailer. Watch Sasquatch Sunset.
Especially the Red Band trailer.
I haven't seen that one yet.
Oh, you should see it.
Okay, I'll take a look at it.
Don't watch it at work, though.
Even this work? Who cares? Here?
Well, I mean, here, it's but it's for the listeners out there.
You have a normal job where people might take offense.
Yeah.
Don't watch the Red Band trailer.
Probably not.
Okay, so Sasquatch Sunset is a trailer you should watch in the privacy of your own home.
Yes.
But as far as something that maybe other people wouldn't think you're weird to watch, what would you suggest?
Well, the main pick, and you mentioned it, Monkey Man, okay, for this weekend. The movie directed by Dev Patel, starring Dev Patel. I've been watching like the press junket and like people's reaction so far to it, and it's just I'm so hyped for this movie. Like, Jong and I did like a most anticipated movies of the year. I didn't realize Monkey Man was coming out this year. Had I known, it would have been top of my list, because it is definitely like in the vein of John Wick.
Okay.
In the vein of those types of action movies. Like, I think last time I was on here, I talked about Roadhouse, right?
Yes.
And I watched that, and it's fine. Yeah, it's whatever. The thing that I was kind of disappointed about that was like the action, they over-edited a bit. Like, they kind of did the shaky cam. They kind of cut in real close and this and that. The thing that I like that Dev's doing, that a lot of other action movies nowadays understand better, is how to actually showcase the action, showcase the different like action choreography that's happening. I think if you've seen the trailer, you've seen the kitchen fight scene a couple of times and stuff like that. And especially knowing that this is Dev Patel's first time directing and shooting something like that.
And
like,
he nearly died. I mean, not nearly died, but he beat himself up to get this done.
He broke his foot like 2 weeks in or something like that. Broke his hand. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't want to hear about Tom Cruise injuring his knee on a set of Mission Impossible.
Come on.
Dev Patel. He's about it. This is
so
a love project for him, because he's talked about how difficult it is for him to get certain type of roles. Yeah. And this was part of that process, too.
And this movie was actually not even supposed to be out in theaters. Like, this was going to be a straight to Netflix movie. But Jordan Peele saw it and was like, no. We got to put this in theaters.
Yeah.
And so that, I mean, you have Jordan Peele behind it and his belief in it. You have Dev Patel, who, like, I don't think he's a well known to a lot of people, I would say.
You have to probably be a movie person.
Yeah, because like the last thing I can think of is The Green Knight, which is not necessarily something that everyday moviegoers are necessarily watching. But he was phenomenal in that. He's been phenomenal in a lot of things. But like, to see him in this way, I'm excited to see it play out on screen and just, again, action focused and bringing something that is slightly different to the action genre, a slightly different perspective. Because the other thing he's talked about is, not only is it action, but it's also societal issues and things like that. How genre-based filmmaking can do those types of things. Same with Jordan Peele, how he does it with horror. Like, I'm excited to see what kind of story he's telling with Monkey Man.
Yeah, he pushes back on the, well, it's John Wick for this. Because he says, as you mentioned, it's about more than that, and his influences go beyond American or Western culture as far as movies are concerned. He's been very eloquent and really wants people to understand what this is. So it's probably in that similar vein of the creators of Shogun saying, yes, we get the Game of Thrones references, but it's about more than that.
Yeah.
It's a different type of message here. So Dev Patel, I'm in on him. I'm going to be watching Monkey Man. So I'm with Michael on that one. Let's say if you don't want to leave your home.
Go ahead. Sorry.
If you don't want to leave your home and you want something to watch, we know the Invincible season finale happened last week, right?
Last night.
So if you're an Invincible fan and you didn't see that, I don't know if you're a fan how you didn't know it was out last night. But if you didn't, you can watch the Invincible season finale today. But if there's is there something else you'd recommend as far as TV, or is that the one you would have gone
with? That's the one I want to go with.
Okay.
So, I mean, I watched that finale last night, and I'm just like, Invincible may be one of the best superhero shows, and maybe not just superhero shows, just shows out there. Mm-hmm. Like, that finale, like, how far are you into Invincible season two right now?
I'm behind. I think where I'm at is I'm inside episode two of season two.
Okay. So you're still, like, honestly, you're in the best spot, because they took such a long break that I forgot about some of the different things, because this season has been way more active in terms of setting up storylines and everything. But the season finale last night, you know, the first season's finale was incredible with the Omni-Man Invincible fight. This one has a different like setting and different everything that makes it just as impactful as that one. And it literally changes Mark moving forward completely. Like, they did it in such a good way with emotional punches throughout that leaves Mark questioning who he is and what he's about. Like, it, and again, the animation is so clean. is so good. It's one of the better shows of the year.
So Mark is, if you don't know, he's Steven Yeun, who you would know as Glenn from The Walking Dead, and obviously I always forget his name. Jonah Jameson. What's the actor's name?
Oh, J.K. Simmons.
J.K. Simmons plays his dad, at least in season one. If you didn't see it, a homicidal, superpowered, like he is probably a worse version of Homelander. Homelander's weirder, certainly.
Homelander's weird, definitely weirder.
But yeah. as we're talking about the a murderous animated version of Superman, because of his power set and all those things, Superman is a bastion of virtue. So right. comparing him to anything is crazy. But I'm just talking about the level of power in the world. Like mm-hmm. people say, no one can be Superman unless you're Batman with kryptonite, I guess, because the world's greatest detective. But this is that version. This is Superman in this world because no one can challenge him.
Right.
And you'll see. And he's also a father. And that's mm-hmm. and Mark is his son. And calling the mother of your child a pet, which was my favorite line from season mm-hmm. one, speaks to the level of Omni-Man.
That's the type, this show is superheroes based.
Yes.
But it's so much more than that. It's so much more about family drama. Like the whole wife angle is definitely played up in this season. The whole father son dynamic between him and Mark. Does he want to be his dad? Does he not want to be his dad? Like, in what respect does he want to be his dad? Like, all that's played up in the season finale. And certain lines do come up that make me go, oh, man. This is hitting in some emotional moments.
That's the deal with the show. The action, cool, but you have these moments in the show where that line came from season one. I don't even remember the episode, but it's a line I'm not ever going to forget.
Mm-hmm.
In the way, even with animation, how it struck the wife character, who by the way is played by Sandra Oh. I'm just trying to give people a reference point.
Yeah.
So that show hits you in multiple ways, and then there's the ultra violence if you're into that. So
shocking,
shocking violence. So that's there for you too. So that's Michael Carroll. This is his segment. Once again, get more of Michael Carroll on Comicast. He hosts that. You heard him mention Jong. Jong Lee is his co-host. Mm-hmm. Comicast has moved. It's now 9 to 10 on Fridays. If you want more of Michael Carroll and his thoughts on pop culture in general, that's the place for you. Certainly, you can listen to the podcast on Google and Spotify and all those places. Spotify, Apple, all those places that you could find it. Those, it's there for you there. But if you're out and about on a Friday night for whatever reason, tonight, you want to listen to it, it'll be there for you too.
Yeah. Tune in. We're going to be talking. Tonight is basically like our catch-up. We're talking about Invincible. We're talking about Shogun. And we're talking about, what was the other show? Oh, X-Men 97.
Okay, which I've been watching.
And I did my Godzilla X Kong non-spoiler thoughts.
Oh, look at that. So if you are interested in figuring out how great it is to watch a giant lizard ride a... the giant monkey riding the lizard.
Yes.
If you're interested in that, Michael will give you a spoiler-free review of the latest in the Godzilla Kong saga as they fight a giant orangutan for supremacy on Earth.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, and then you might see a little Kong. Oh, you will see a little Kong if you've seen the trailer.
Yeah.
Mini Kong.
A mini Kong. It's,
I hope that orangutan's a fascist. I haven't seen the movie. I just hope he's a fascist. I want to know how Michael's saying possibly.
Kind of.
I want to see how he took control away from the Kongs, and now, of course, Kong has to fight them when they're not destroying the pyramids.
There's some tendencies there, okay. I think. There's some, there's some moments.
A fascist orangutan.
Yeah, exactly. And Scar. That's his name.
What's Godzilla minus one? Well, we're just talking about the proliferation of nuclear powers and what it means to a society. But in this one, the fascist orangutan beating up the lizard and the ape.
Yeah.
And let's see how it works out.
Exactly. And a telepathic child.
Well, when they brought that in, all right, guys. All right. I could go with the whole giant lizard and Kong fighting each other. But now the telepathic child, it's a little unrealistic.
I like when people are like, it's Godzilla and Kong.
Yes.
Like somebody was like complaining about how they move. Like, bro, it's a giant gorilla and a giant lizard dinosaur thing.
It's almost like the people who took issues with the movement or fluidity of the Transformers. Sometimes you just got to push it aside, man.
It makes no sense, but it's also space. Who cares?
Just watch the movie.
Just watch the movie.
Yeah. Most of Godzilla X Kong or Kong X Godzilla X Kong.
takes place in Hollow Earth.
Yes, exactly.
So, all the movement stuff, who cares?
Who cares?
They start, the premise is, so Hollow Earth is real.
Yeah.
Dot, dot, dot.
And then you
they
go from there.
And you go from there, and it's like kind of like a different dimension or whatever. Like, who cares about physics, honestly? Like, I don't care.
Yeah, they go upside down.
I barely passed that class anyway. Yeah. Like, I don't care.
I don't judge the physics, as Sean mentioned, of the upside down. Why am I judging the physics of Hollow Earth? Just go with it.
Yeah.
What's his name again? What's the scientist who always takes shots at movies because they're unrealistic?
Oh, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
I don't need you to be Neil deGrasse Tyson for this. It's just Godzilla and Kong fighting.
He said something about, the physics of the sand wouldn't attract worms.
In Dune, too, yeah.
What are you talking about? They're giant space worms.
You know the physics of space?
You know the physics of space worms?
Yeah, stop it. Watch the movie, science guy. That's why Bill Nye's better than you.
100%.
100%.
This is a Bill Nye science guy panel here.
That's right. We back Bill.
Yeah.
The scientist from my youth. Neil, you're a Johnny come lately. I don't even know what you're doing. That wraps up this segment. Thank you, Michael, for joining us for this nonsense. It was somewhat serious for the first half, and then the second half.
Giant space worms.
Yeah, of course. And by the way, Dune 3 in production.
Yes, it is.
Dune Messiah in production officially. So if you're ready to see it get even weirder than giant space worms, Dune Messiah will be there for you.
Yeah, it will.
Speaking of telepathic babies, Dune 2, man. I credit Denny for finding a way to make that a thing. For us not to immediately laugh at it.
Yeah.
He tried his best, and that'll be a thing apparently in Dune 3, Dune Messiah. So, once again, Michael, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Michael, if he's not busy, will join us next week to continue to elevate our knowledge on nerd culture, pop culture, and what you should or shouldn't watch. We got one more segment to go here. We'll be back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
You just got a couple minutes left. Once again, appreciate Michael Carroll for joining us. Now, Gallant and George are going to be in studio today. But on Monday, along with the Killer Bees, they are going to be broadcasting live from Space Cadet Bar. Join the guys and then watch the National Championship game and Astros versus Rangers. They'll be there on Monday. And if you go there, you got a chance for the special burger beer combo deal, bucket specials and victory beers for the Astros game at Space Cadet Bar. And if you want to know what a victory beer is, kind of self-explanatory, but you do have to arrive by the third inning. And if the Astros win, you'll get a free victory beer. So make sure you get to the Space Cadet on Monday to hang out with us and stay for the Astros and National Championship game. Let's go out there. Join the guys. They're going to be out there doing the shows, and you got a chance to win beers. And I know people love a beer, and the burger and beer specials will be cool too. So go out there and join them. And speaking of the Astros, they get back going tonight after yesterday's day off. Hunter Brown versus Cody Bradford. Hunter Brown, good in his first outing. Didn't go very long, only four innings, and, scuffled a little bit. That's kind of been the way things have gone, and that's why they're 2-5, because getting to the bullpen has meant disaster. So hopefully Hunter Brown can go longer than four innings and be as effective as he was in those four innings in his last outing, and the Rangers will be on the other side. And, of course, they're the world champions, but the Astros have had a good time in that building, and we hope that continues. Alvarez is hot. Yiner's one of the best hitters in baseball, and Jeremy Peña. The power's come back. So a lot of good things for the lineup. We just got to hope the bullpen finds its way to match what the lineup has done the last couple nights. Well, not Tuesday night per se, but Monday and Wednesday. And then and the starting pitching has been good throughout. So the Astros and the Rangers. We got Rockets versus Heat tonight. The Rockets, after losing to Golden State, season has lost some of its importance, but, maybe finishing over 500 is something to latch onto, and I'm sure that is what they're going to be pushing. Keep the guys motivated. Had a great run, fell apart, and that's probably a little harsh, but a bit of regression. They weren't a team that was an 11 in a row type team going before that streak happened, but now you just hope to finish out the year strong after losing the last three. You hope that doesn't become a long losing streak that kind of sours what had been a really good month of March. So I'm done for the week. Sean will be the producer for Gallant and George, so he'll still be around. If you want to talk to Sean, tweet at him, Sean A. Mapes. He's interesting. He'll have things to say, maybe, or maybe he's just not going to talk to anyone as he wraps up his week as well.
Maybe I'll just ignore you.
It's quite possible. You never know about Sean. He may ignore you. I'll try not to on Monday. I'll talk to you then.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.